Jesus, he go round Langol, get to town, na place. And me school him all men merry in sight Langol, house lo to belong el. And me out him good news, belong kingdom, belong God. Na and me make him all right, all get a kind sick, he stop long body, belong all. And me look him all big pull a line, man merry. Na and me sorry, true, long all. Didn't mean a whole lot to most of us, did it? Let's try it in English, shall we? Matthew 9, 35 through 10, 8. Then Jesus went all about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The word of the Lord. Good morning. I've already been introduced, and I wanted to share a couple of things with you before I play a number for you musically. But first of all, thank you, and thank you to Pastor Chris, who's not here, but I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be here this morning. And I bring greetings from my wife as well, Diane. She and my two sons are all in Iowa right now, though, which is because a couple of weeks ago we knew we needed to make a trip to Iowa, and so in doing so, we went with 2 weeks in mind, and then all of a sudden my mother had a stroke, and she lives in Iowa, and so we knew we needed to stay a little bit longer, and so plans changed, and to save some wear and tear on our bodies and our cars, rather than driving back here yesterday, and then leaving tomorrow and driving another 10 or 12 hours back to Iowa, I left the family who was there, and I came here and flew, and I'll be flying back again tomorrow. So as you think about us, think also of my wife and kids, but especially think of my mother, who's recovering from a stroke. And let's see, another picture of my wife here with one of her national friends, and there I am conducting the band in Ugarumpa. Normally, my wife, Diane, would be playing the piano for me today, but since she's not available, I've talked my daughter into joining us, and so Natasha will be playing piano. And since my sons are not here to run the PowerPoints, that leaves it up to me. So hopefully I won't forget to do that while I'm talking today. Normally, I just start talking, and then my kids take care of it. It's nice to have a team, though, and that's what we are. As a family, we work as a team. And so I'm grateful that God has worked things out that way. I would like to start off with a piece of music here called Be Thou My Vision. Many of you already know it, but it's a good reminder of what this is all about. The special number today, when I hear from you, how do we hear from God? We hear from God in His Word. He speaks to us through His Word, doesn't He? And we, in understanding who God is because we can read His Word, helps us to have the same kind of vision that He does. And that's, I think, what we all want to do. We want to see things from God's perspective. So that's what we're going to do now. I'll play that piece of music for you. And thank you, Natasha, for joining me. My wife, Diane, and I both grew up in Bible-believing churches where we regularly heard missionaries speak. However, the majority of those missionaries were evangelists or church planters, and we knew we didn't fit into one of those categories. After I'd been teaching music for 13 years, I heard a Wycliffe missionary talk about the need for people with all kinds of gifts to be involved in the process of Bible translation. Of course, there were Bible translators and linguists, but there were also literacy people and pilots. And I need to figure out how to move my slides ahead. There we go, pilots. All right, and mechanics to fix the airplanes. You know, you can't get to, if the missionaries can't get to the people, they can't give the story, can they? They can't share the gospel with them. Mechanics to fix those airplanes, doctors and nurses, construction workers, accountants and other financial people. Yes, here we go, teachers for the missionary children. And that struck a chord in my heart. You mean I could teach music and help Bible translations at the same time? Yes, the missionary said. Missionaries value music, and they want their kids to be able to learn it as well. I was excited that I could teach music, as I had been doing for the past 13 years, and help Bible translations at the same time. And so we began the process and wind up joining Wycliffe Bible Translators. After we found out that we'd be working in Papua New Guinea, or PNG, as we shorten it to, we found out that this country, about the size of California, has more than 800 languages. And even though New Testaments have been translated in more than 200 languages in Papua New Guinea, there are at least 300 languages with no scripture portions translated at all. The people of Papua New Guinea need God's word in their heart language. Now, my role, as I already mentioned, there's many different roles, and my role is to be teaching the missionary kids at the Ukarumpa International School. Out of the 270 children at the school, 73% of them are involved in music. In addition to that, there are homeschooling families in the missionary community who still want their students to be a part of the music and the sports programs at the school. Well, recently I received a Facebook message from Misha. Misha is a former student of mine from the Ukarumpa International School. Her parents are translators working with the Kalawawa people on one of the islands in Papua New Guinea. And she wrote, "Hi, Mr. Lord. I just wanted to write a note to say that I am grateful that you were in Ukarumpa at the same time I was learning music. Thanks for being my first clarinet teacher and for teaching us music theory my senior year. Thanks also for being one of my first choir directors." Let's see. Yeah, I'm forgetting already. Here we go. There's some band. And there's some choir, right. What else does she say? Oh, yes. "I never knew it at the time, but all of those experiences that I had in music because of you and the other music teachers led me to becoming a music teacher. I'm in my first year teaching middle school choir and high school guitar, keyboard, and voice in Walla Walla, Washington. So thank you for all I learned from you. I greatly appreciate it." Now, I find it ironic that her parents are working with the Kalawawa people and she winds up in Walla Walla, Washington. Well, of course, I wrote her back and told that we were preparing to return to Papua New Guinea this year, and she responded, "I'm so glad you can continue to impact people's lives by teaching them about music. I hope to do the same in my life. I have such great memories of my music experiences at Ukarumpa, and I want others to have memories like that too. Thanks again for all you do." Another student I'd like you to meet is Adam Gallagher. Adam's parents work with the Bari'i people on a different island. How many times do I need to touch it? Oh, there we go. Only four. Okay. I think I'm moving too fast. I'm playing it like a clarinet instead of an iPad. Anyway, Adam's parents work with the Bari'i people on a different island in Papua New Guinea. They were able to dedicate the New Testament a few years ago, and they continue to work with the Bari'i people, helping them learn to use the scriptures in their daily lives. Well, Adam started playing the clarinet in the beginning band under my training, and then a few years later, he switched to saxophone. My wife, Diane, accompanied several of his high school recitals as he was playing the saxophone, and after graduation, he attended and graduated from Princeton University. He also messaged us recently, saying, "I wanted to let you know that I'm committing to supporting your family. I'm glad to be a part of your ministry through finances as well as prayer. I'm looking forward to following and supporting you and on your journey back to Papua New Guinea and beyond." Well, we thank God for the opportunity we've had to partner with translators and other missionaries by teaching their children music at the Ukurump International School. We're also thankful that the students we've taught recognize the value of what has been made available to them and want to invest in it for others also. And we're excited to be preparing to go back to Papua New Guinea this year to continue helping Bible translations by teaching missionary kids. Now, imagine you are in a church where your pastor had to read and study a Bible in his second or third language, not his heart language, the language he grew up using. And this morning you understood what it felt like to be on the receiving end of that. If that pastor spoke in his heart language and no one understood him, that wouldn't do any good, would it? I was actually reading the scriptures out of Tok Pisin, the trade language in Papua New Guinea. With more than 800 languages in that country, they have to have some way that people from one language culture group can meet up with someone else from a different language culture group and talk the same language. And so they use Pidgin English, or the trade language of Tok Pisin. Well, that's what I read to you this morning a little bit of. But back to my story. Our village church that we were a part of in Papua New Guinea, mainly the people in the congregation spoke Gadsup. But the pastor was from the Kuman area. And during our Sunday morning service, he would read the Bible from his King James English Bible and then preach to the congregation in Pidgin English, the trade language that I mentioned earlier. Well, during his time at our church, we had the privilege of attending the Bible dedication for the Kuman New Testament. I had taught music to the children. Well, what did I do there? You've got it? There we go. Yes. Okay, there it is. The Bible dedication. I had taught music to the children of the missionaries who helped translate the New Testament. And before the ceremony began, a group of people led by a brass band paraded through town, collecting as many onlookers as they could, and then arrived at the place of the dedication. While they were waiting for it to begin, the brass band continued to play music, worship songs, and hymns. And then, after the ceremony was over, the Kuman New Testament was made available for purchase. What a privilege it was for me to be able to purchase a New Testament for that pastor so that he could read now the Bible, the New Testament anyway, in his own heart language. Still, he had to preach in a different language. He had to read it in church in a different language, but at least he could study it for himself. And I know that he understands it a lot better and is benefiting from it, and I know that his congregation is benefiting from it as well. Well, I know that there are times that you run into problems and you cry out to God. And that has happened to us in our experiences in Papua New Guinea as well. Before I went to Papua New Guinea, I had people telling me, "You don't want to go to Papua New Guinea. That's a dangerous place. You're going to take your six kids to Papua New Guinea? That's crazy." Well, maybe it was, but I felt like, and my wife felt, like that's where God wanted us to be. And we felt like if God wanted us in Papua New Guinea, we and our family were safer and better there than staying here in the United States. And so we did move to Papua New Guinea. And if you'd like to hear a little bit more from a child's perspective, you can ask Natasha about it, because she moved there when she was about 4 years old. So she'll have some stories for you, I'm sure. But I will tell you a few myself. We've been robbed. Three different times I've been robbed on the road. Three different times our house has been broken into, and we've lost things that way. But you know what? Those things that we lost are so insignificant compared to the gift of the gospel and the Bible in the heart language of the people who really need it there. It's a good trade-off. That doesn't matter, does it? Other things that God has watched over us concerned. One time our family was traveling to a nearby town, and, well, not nearby, actually, it's a long way away. And as we went up one of the mountain passes to get there, it was quite muddy. And it was so muddy that we couldn't make it to the top of that hill. And we were kind of stuck. Well, you know, I'd back the van up and try to make another run at it, you know, and it didn't work. And finally, we just, well, we're going to have to hope that God sends help and someone comes by who will assist us. And so we prayed, and God indeed sent someone along. It was a truckload of about 30 or 40 Papua New Guineans, and they got ropes out of their truck, and some of them pulled, and some of them pushed, and they got our van over that mountain. There's another time when we were visiting Cambodia on our way back to Papua New Guinea, and all of our passports were stolen, and God miraculously brought them back to us. We found out later that those passports could have been stolen for thousands of dollars, or could have been sold for thousands of dollars. And there were, how many of us were there at that time? 9 of us in my family at that time. God provided for us in ways that sometimes we know about and other times we don't. One of the longest days in my life was in 2005 when I was coming back to the United States earlier than the rest of my family. They were going to follow in about 2 weeks when our regular plane tickets had already been purchased for a time to come back to the United States. But my father was in hospice care. And knowing that, we were able to move my ticket ahead, and I traveled across the ocean. And one of the songs that was a great benefit to me at that time was a song called God, You Good Plawasman. My oldest daughter, Maria, had taught it to our family just a couple of months earlier, and it helped me get through that tough time. And that's the song I'd like to share with you now. Go ahead.
God, you good Pella was mine. You was all time long life long me. Long I'll get to have me go. Now get to have me stop. You was all time long life belong me. Time me call up long balus, oh me run on top long sip. Time me call up long highway bus, oh Ronico, you was all time long life belong me. God, you good Pella was man. You was all time long life long me. Long I'll get to have me go. Now get to have me stop. You was all time long life belong me. Time me call up long balus, oh me run on top long sip. Time me call up long highway bus, oh Ronico, you was all time long life belong me. You was all time long life belong me.
Well, we find opportunities during school breaks and maybe on weekends as well to do other things to help share the gospel in Papua New Guinea. Some of our teenagers were part of a drama group, and they would do their dramas at churches and also at outdoor venues in nearby towns, and then share the gospel with the onlookers. Sometimes our family just went into the nearby town and would do readers' theaters of something like John 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and we would read the story to them in Tokpisin. I wasn't good enough in Tokpisin to actually carry on a good gospel presentation on my own, but I could read a tract in Tokpisin. If I could read it ahead of time, make sure it was a good one, and read it out loud, I'd start reading to one person. Pretty soon that one person had multiplied to be 10 or 15, maybe even 20 people. They want to hear what we have to say. And after that, I could also pass that tract out to all of those people. Even if they couldn't read, they would find someone who could read it to them again, and they would hear it again, or they would share it with, or if they could read, they would share it with the people that they were living with in their houses and so forth. I also was able to take part in a guitar course. One time we went to a village, there were about 80 guitars and guitar players present, And we were able to work with these guitar players. We'd split them up into groups. But also, along with that, we were able to give them a songwriting workshop and teach them music theory. And by the end of the week, we had 12 songs that we were able to record that were using their newly translated scriptures or their heart language, and also some in Tokpisin as well. Songs that were created to help worship God better and using their own culture to do it. And also, there it is. Okay, great. And also, I also had an opportunity to go on some Jesus video showings. I went with some other men. We traveled out to different villages. We'd find out what language groups we were going to be at. Sometimes we could find the Jesus video translated into their heart languages and share that with them. Other times, if we were going to a bigger city, there might be a lot of languages involved there because of all the people in that city, and so we would show it in Tokpisin. Anyway, those were all opportunities and different things we were able to do to help get the gospel to the people of Papua New Guinea. Let's see. I wanted to share with you a little bit from Romans 5, 1-8. I'm talking about God's word, and I don't want to neglect just getting into it a little bit. And the neat thing that I like about this brief passage is just all of the promises found in it. You know, if we have put our faith and trust in God, in verse 1 here it says, we have been justified. Well, what does it mean to be justified? It means to be shown to be just or to be right. And you know what? Every one of us needs that. We are not right in God's eyes unless we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And it's only because of his work that we're able to do that. What else are the promises that we have here? It says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't Jesus the ultimate peacemaker? He makes peace with us, and so that we can have peace with God our Father. And if we live out that peace of God here on earth, we have peace with one another as well, don't we? So we can have peace with God. Also in verse 2, it reads, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So we experience God's grace, don't we? Oh, wait a minute, what's grace? Yeah, it's one of those churchy terms, right? What is that? I heard someone explain grace one time as being God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means God gives us something that we don't deserve. And he does it because of what Christ did for us. We get the good stuff because Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected. And he, in dying on the cross, took our sin upon himself and paid the penalty for those sins, for those wrongdoings, so that we can experience God's grace and be justified and have that peace with God. If we skip ahead to verse 5, it says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We have God's love in our heart. And that should overflow in our lives so that we can share God's love with other people around us, shouldn't it? And who is that? That's through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have God's Holy Spirit as well. God indwelling us, the one who made us, who created us to live inside of us. Isn't that amazing? But that's awesome. And that's what God's gift to us is if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. How did Christ give us these promises? Well, we've already talked about that a little bit, but there it is. Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus said he didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And first, we have to acknowledge that we are sinners and we need him to do it for us. If we think we can get to heaven on our own, we are not reading and understanding the Bible the right way, are we? No, we must rely on Jesus Christ and on his good gift for us. He died for the ungodly. We were undeserving. Why did God give us these things? Not because we were good and deserved it, no, but because he loved us. And that's in verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What precious promises we have in just these short 8 verses. There's a couple of verses I kind of skipped over because I wanted to to use my time wisely, and I thought if I get into those, it's going to take a lot longer than what I just shared with you now. But what precious promises we have in God's Word. God showing His love by having Christ die for us made available all of these promises. We have been justified. We have peace with God. We experience God's grace. God's love is poured out into our hearts. And we have His Holy Spirit living within us. What wonderful promises we have through those things. All because God loved us. And that brings me to a story that I wanted to share with you. It's about another translator named Lee Bramlett. He was working with the Hadi people in Cameroon, Africa. He was trying to help these people understand God's character. And he wasn't quite, he didn't feel like he was making progress with them. So he prayed about it, and one night God showed him in a dream that He wanted him to look at the word for love in the Hadi language. So Lee did. Now, he realized, because he'd been translating, working with his wife and some national translators for a while, that every verb in the Hadi language has three verb forms. They end in the vowels E, A, and U. But when he looked at the word love, he realized they only use two of them. And that was a mystery. Where's the third vowel form? And so he talked to the national people that speak the language, that's their heart language, and he said, okay, men, could you devi your wife? Oh, yes, we could devi our wife. That means that we used to love her, but we don't love her anymore. The love is gone. Could you deva your wife? Oh, yes, we would deva our wife when she makes us happy and serves us well. He said, could you devu your wife? And they laughed. They just laughed. They said, no, we could never say, we would never say that. If you devu your wife, that means you have to love her no matter what. Even if she never gets the water, if she burns your meals and doesn't cook for you, even if she commits adultery, you would have to keep loving her no matter what. We would never say devu. Lee thought about that. And then he asked this question. Could God devu people? The crowd was silent. And soon he saw some of these men with tears going down their cheeks. And they said, do you know what that means? We have been disobeying God. We have not honored Him. And yet He loves us. Even though we are so sinful. Even though we don't do what He tells us. And they were heartbroken. One little vowel, and the meaning changed from I love you because of what you do for me to I love you because of who I am. God had encoded His unconditional love in the Hadi language. It was there, readily available, ready for them to hear it and understand it, but not used by them until they're translating the Bible. And then they understood. And now, many came to Christ because of that. They understood God's character. And the Hadi language has been translated. The New Testament is complete. And they can read passages like John 3:16, where it says, for God so devoured the world that He gave His one and only Son. Or Ephesians 5:25 that says, husbands, devour your wives as Christ devoured the church. Well, because God's love, His devu, is poured out into our hearts, and He has given us His Holy Spirit, we want to answer His call to help communicate that wonderful message to others, just as we read about in the gospel today. One popular way of looking at missions is the pray, give, and go model. Yes, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So Jesus tells us to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. This is a command we all should be participating in. Are you? I know many of you are. Some of you have gone to Peru over these last 2 weeks, and they're experiencing that firsthand. That's great. My family and I want to go and to be a part of that, to join the laborers in Papua New Guinea. But we need help to get there. Not everyone can go to a foreign country. We understand that. God hasn't made us all to have the same, the same bent and the same way of working. Not everyone's called to a foreign country. But those whom God has called to go need help. So even if you aren't called to go, you are called to pray. And some of you may be even called to give. Is your heart in missions, but you cannot go? By giving, you are enabling others to go. And you're laying up treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We currently, as I mentioned earlier, we have all of our one-time expenses for getting to Papua New Guinea covered. And we have commitments for all of our ongoing monthly expenses, except for about $150 per month. We are thrilled with the way God has been working over the last 2 months to change that, over time. And so I would invite you, if you're passionate about Christian education, about music, and getting the Bible into the heart language of people who don't yet have it, to pick up a prayer card from our table in the back. Sign up to receive our newsletters. We can get you our newsletters that will keep you posted about our progress and about what's going on in Papua New Guinea through email or snail mail or Facebook, whatever the best way you like to receive that news is. And pray about whether God would have you join us by praying or giving for our Wycliffe ministry as we partner together to eradicate Bible poverty. Let's pray together. Search our hearts, God. Help us to see what is in our hearts and to confess those things that are wrong, and to bolster those things which are right and will further your kingdom. We thank you that we have your word translated into our own language so that we can understand it and know you, and so that we can know that you loved us and sent your son Jesus to take the penalty of our wrongdoings. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you, God, for justifying us by Jesus' death, and thank you for giving us your grace and making peace with us through Jesus Christ. Thank you also for giving us your Holy Spirit, that we may have the power to do what you ask of us. And thank you for the desire to serve you and to want to bring others into your kingdom. We do pray for more laborers for the harvest, and we also pray that those who desire to go, like us, will be enabled through the prayers and gifts of your people. We know that you're able to do all these things, and we desire to see you praised when you do them. Amen.